You know, there seems to be an awful lot of darkness and confusion, stormy clouds in the world today, don't there? There's even darkness and stormy clouds in our church. But sisters and brothers, have you ever noticed that in the scriptures, how often the word of God, the voice of God, or the message of God is heard only after the hearer has been enveloped in a dark cloud, or a fog, or a dense smoke? Just listen to all this. A dark cloud preceded the Israelites during their journey through the desert to freedom in the Promised Land. God spoke to Moses and Israel out of a dark cloud that surrounded the mountain of the Lord's presence. Moses went into the cloud where the Lord spoke to him and gave him the commandments. Solomon said, the Lord intended to dwell in the dark cloud that filled the temple. Ezekiel said, a cloud filled the inner courts of the temple where God was about to speak. And then in our first reading today, Abram fell into a trance and a deep and terrifying darkness enveloped him. And that provided the occasion for the Lord to speak the covenant promise. Then finally, in today's gospel, we find three frightened disciples entering a shadowy cloud again. Before the voice and the promise of faithful care and trustworthy guidance could even be heard. You know, this brings to mind a story that my wife Christy and I heard just the other night. It was just this past Friday evening that Christy and I decided to go to the Redfish Seafood Grill up around where we live in Cypress. And we had dinner up there, fish of course, it was Friday. And the manager, a woman, beautiful woman named Rolita, whom we know, we've gotten to know, came over to talk to us after dinner. And during our little conversation, Christy happened to mention that I was preaching this weekend all the masses. And she says, oh, really? She says, well, Deacon Jim, what theme are you going to preach on? And I said, well, it's the Transfiguration, and so I was going to talk about how the dark clouds of confusion always seem to precede God's messages of hope and encouragement in our lives. And she nodded her head, and she says, wow, talk about a dark cloud. She said, you mind if I tell you my story? And I said, we said, no, go ahead. She said, she started to tell us about how about 2.5 years ago, she was having an MRI of her gallbladder because she had some problems there. And she said, during the MRI, they noticed some spots on her liver. And lo and behold, she come to find out through several other tests and whatnot that she had cancer in her liver. And of course, she said this filled her with darkness and confusion for several months as she went about from doctor to doctor, hospital to hospital, trying to find a better prognosis than what she was getting. She was constantly being told over and over again that, you know, this cancer has gone too far. There's not much hope for, you know, there's not really a hope for a cure or anything like that. And you're not really a candidate for a liver transplant, and there's not a whole lot we can do for you. And so she kept getting this story over and over again, and she said it drove her into a very dark time in her life, and the darkness overshadowed her. But yet she said at the same time, she had told her friends and different friends and family what was going on, and they come to know about it. And she said that she was put on prayer lists at Prince of Peace Church and at Christ the Redeemer up in Cyprus. And so a lot of people started praying for her. And she said that one of the things that happened through this darkness and confusion was that it helped her realize what was really important in her life. She started to think about things like, oh, wow, you know, I have a 10-year-old and 11-year-old daughters. Oh, wow, what am I going to do? You know, am I really going to have to leave them soon or what? And she said, so she kept going from doctor to doctor, hospital to hospital. And she finally wound up about 2 years ago at Methodist Hospital. And she was walking, she was there, I think she said she was there to visit a friend. She wasn't really even there for her own self. And she said when she was walking down the hall, she ran into this doctor whom she had heard was a liver, he had done several liver transplants. And so she stopped and talked to him. And she started telling him about her situation, about all the problems she was having and the answers that she kept getting. And he was very interested. And he said, you know, he says, why don't you talk to the doctors and the hospitals and get your all your test results and stuff sent over to me and let me take a look at it. He said, I don't know, but he said, I'd be interested in seeing if there's anything I can do for you. And so she did that. And she had this done within a matter of a day or two. And then, lo and behold, she got a call from him very quickly. And he said, Rolita, he said, I think I can help you. He said, but he said, you're going to need a liver transplant. And he said, there's no guarantees there. He says, what I'll do is, he says, I'll put you on my list for a liver transplant. And we'll see what happens. Lo and behold, she said, the very next day, he called her again. He said, Rolita, it's unbelievable. He said, there's a family whose little 8-year-old daughter was riding in a car with her grandfather, and a drunk driver ran into the back of the car, and she banged her head in the accident, and she ended up brain dead, and she's on life support. And they saw your name on my list. He said he knew this family. And they saw her name on the list, and decided that this was a sign from God that they should go ahead and sign the paperwork for her to be an organ donor. And they went ahead and took her off of life support. As soon as they found out from him, actually, that her liver, the little girl's liver, was a good match for Rolita. And so he said, I have really good news for you. You're going to, he said, I want to do this liver transplant for you. And so the very next day, she actually went in and they prepped her and everything. And she went in, she was being taken into the OR. And she said, while she was riding on the gurney, she felt something. And she looked over and she said, Jesus was walking beside the gurney. And she said, you know, she said, I know it wasn't an illusion or just a dream, because she said, it was so real. He never really said anything to me. He just was smiling and just kind of letting me know that it was okay. And she said her prayer at that point started to change, and she started to pray as they were putting her out on the operating table. She was saying, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. Don't know if I'm going to survive or not, but I know that you're with me, and whatever happens, it's okay. I'm okay with it. Even if I should have to go, I know that you'll take care of my children and my family. And so, needless to say, she woke up. And there she was. Here she is, 2 years later, telling Christy and me this story. And I asked her, when she told the story, I said, would you mind if I used that story in my homily, if it fits? And she says, no, not a problem at all. Go ahead. So I decided to go ahead and tell you the story. It's an amazing story that really goes with what I'm talking about here. So why is it then that we can only seem to hear God's voice from inside dark, confusing, or foreboding clouds, smoke screens, or fog? Some even say from under a veil of confusion. Well, I believe the answer is hidden in plain sight, as usual, right in the middle of today's gospel story. You know, Luke tells us that Peter's immediate reaction to seeing Jesus' true nature was that his mind started racing with all sorts of thoughts about how exciting it was and how this wonderful experience could be preserved. But Luke also tells us that Peter was missing the whole point, actually, that he didn't even know what he was saying. And so Peter's and Rolita's, and I believe all the terrifying experiences of darkness and confusion, are all actually a necessary gift, a grace, as it were, to shock Peter, James, and all of us out of our all-absorbing need to take control and preserve our wonderful experiences or our better experiences so as to avoid more undesirable circumstances of life. But we don't know what we're doing, do we? Sisters and brothers, I believe that today's scriptures are challenging you and me to follow Jesus' lead in all of the events and circumstances of our lives. whether he leads us onto mountaintops or into deserts, whether he leads us into deep woods or low valleys, we are always called to listen to him. You know, darkness, no matter how frightening or devastating it may be, only lasts for a while. These are circumstances, and circumstances always change. But joy comes in the morning, as the scriptures tell us. We will see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living when we wait for him with courage. As the psalm tells us, be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. You won't be disappointed.